The Berkshire Playwrights Lab annual gala will take place on Friday, June 7th at 6:30 p.m. at the Wyantonuck Country Club in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. The fundraising event will include a silent auction and a one-night-only performance of a new work by Rick Dresser featuring Tony Shalhoub. Tony Shalhoub won a 2018 Tony Award for the Best Actor in a Musical for his performance in The Band's Visit. It was his fourth Tony nomination in 2018. He was also nominated for an Emmy for Supporting Actor in a Comedy and won the SAG Award in that category for his role in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. He had previously won 3 Emmys and a Golden Globe for Outstanding Lead in a Comedy Series for his role in Monk. Tony Shalhoub, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Tony, I love your work, and I think that it's fabulous that you're doing this for a very good organization. The Berkshire Playwrights Lab, that annual gala again on Friday, June 7th at 6:30 in the Wyantonuck Country Club in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. So it says here that you are going to be doing a performance. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to be doing a kind of a reading of a monologue written by Rick Dresser, who's a friend and someone whose work I've done before. And I just really like this Playwrights Lab. A couple years ago, I was there. I did another piece by Dresser, and I also directed another small play with 2 actors. And it's just it's a really, really important organization. It nurtures playwrights, first-time playwrights, directors. And in fact, my wife this year, my wife, Brooke Adams, she's written her first play. And a workshop of that play called Delusion by Proxy will be done in July at the Playwrights Lab.
Now, do you know the Berkshires at all? I live in Great Barrington, but do you know the Berkshires?
Not as well as I'd like to. I mean, my time in Great Barrington a few years ago was heavenly. I used to live in Boston when I was one of the founding members of the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge when I got out of grad school. So I lived in Cambridge from 1980 to 1984 and have been, you know, back to Boston to work a number of times. So we would, you know, venture out to various parts of Massachusetts. But I really feel like I never got enough time in the Berkshire, so as much as I should have.
I'm going to ask you a question you're not going to like, but I'm going to ask it to you anyway.
Okay.
How do you like being famous? I mean, famous is important. I was on the subway with Sam Waterston one time, and this lady across was knitting, and she was kept staring at him. And I said, Sam, I think she made you. He said, I know.
Yeah.
I know, he said.
I don't know. I don't think about it too much. I don't think of myself as being famous, really. I don't know how to explain it. To be honest, if someone recognizes, there's always a bit of a surprise to it. You know what I mean? It's almost like it's happening for the first time. I don't feel like, I say this because over the years I've worked with a number of, you know, I've had the really good fortune to work with a number of very, very famous people. And I got to kind of witness what that looks like. So, you know what I mean? It's all relative. You know, compared to certain people I've worked with, I feel kind of like I have total anonymity.
How much influence do you have in the products that you deal with? I mean, in Monk or later on now in Mrs. Maisel?
Well, it varies. You know, on Monk, I was a producer. I was from the very beginning. And that means a lot of different things. People always see that in the credits when actors have producing credits. In that case of Monk, you know, I didn't want to necessarily have final cut or, you know, full control. I just wanted to have a voice and not just be a gun for hire. I wanted to be able to have some input. So on Monk, they let me do as much or as little as I was able, had time to and needed to do. But on Monk, I was involved in guest casting. I was involved in editing, very heavily in editing. And they let me be in the editing room on every episode. Again, not having final cut, but being able to just weigh in on certain decisions. And also, I was, I guess, much more involved with the writers than, say, the other cast members who weren't producers. But on Maisel, I'm not a producer, so I have fewer responsibilities. And at this stage in the game, I'm content with that. And I feel like I'm in such good hands, they don't need me.
Do you think that by the time, you know, let's say 100 years from now, they'll still be playing Monk on the cable channels?
Oh, God, I don't know about that.
And also, you age personally, right? But the program will never age.
I suppose if it's the kind of show, you know, that new generations of people can enjoy and appreciate, that would be great. I mean, I don't know. One of the things that the writers of Monk did very, I think, very successfully and very wisely was they tried not to put too many like pop culture references into the show. We kind of prided ourselves on being like the unhippest show on TV. There weren't a lot of current references to politics, to pop culture, to music, to actors. They really stayed away from that. And I thought it was a good idea because it kind of gives it a little bit of a timeless quality, I hope.
I once asked Sam Waterston, I said, which of those assistants that you had do you think is the prettiest or the nicest? And his wife was sitting up in the audience and he said, what are you trying to do? Get me killed? There you are.
Yes, I can relate to that. I can totally relate to that.
So, you know, you have a relationship with the Berkshires. You probably don't know it. Who played the captain in Monk?
Ted Levine.
Yeah, I guess that's the guy. You know, the guy with the mustache.
Yeah, right. Ted Levine. He played Captain Stottlemyre. Yes. Yeah,
that's right. And he went to the Windsor Mountain School in a very progressive. Yeah, very progressive school. And at least this is the story I'm getting from my wife, who wrote a book about the Windsor Mountain School.
Wow. I always thought he was from the Chicago area.
Yeah,
but somehow he ended up in the Berkshires.
Yeah, well, so it was quite a place. It was a very progressive place and the rest of it. And I hope I'm right. And if I'm not, well, I do apologize. So you've won all these awards. How much do they mean to you?
Well, on the day you win them, they mean an enormous amount. And then after that, not so much. They're great. I don't know. I suppose I've been to a lot of these awards ceremonies. I think I remember the losses more deeply than, you know, I feel the losses more deeply than the wins. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. But what's it like? You're sitting there, you're in the audience, you think you might win, and you don't win. Do you get a...
Oh, that happens so often.
You get something in your stomach? I mean, how does it feel?
I'm sure you've heard this from a lot of different, you know, people, that when you're nominated for something, you feel really, you know, kind of great for a number of weeks. And then the event occurs, and then there's very few winners and a lot of losers. And that doesn't feel so great. But, you know, as I said, those things, there's always next year, there's always another award coming down 2 months from now. You know what I mean? They don't have that much to do with the actual work. That's the short answer.
Where did you go to college?
Well, I started at the University of Wisconsin in Green Bay, which is where I'm from. Mm-hmm. I went there for a year, and then I transferred out to University of Maine in Portland, Maine, which is now called the University of Southern Maine. And then from there, I went to the Yale Drama School for a 3-year graduate school. After that, I moved to Cambridge.
So who was the director of the Yale School when you were there?
Robert Brustein was the dean of the school and the artistic director of the Yale Rep. Yep. Which was the professional company which he started, actually. I was 2 years under Brustein, and then he left to start the ART. And so my final year, I was under Lloyd Richards. He became the dean of the school and the artistic director of the Rep.
So how much does education figure into your success?
Oh, I think very much. I felt in my college years and in grad school, you know, my undergrad years and the master's program, it was, especially Yale, was a very, very intensive training. And because Yale was and is a conservatory situation where professionals who worked at the Rep, designers, directors, writers, they were teaching at the school. I think it was very, very important, especially Brustein's vision. His vision was to have a true repertory theater, which he did at Yale and then continued at the American Repertory Theater. And we were encouraged to play a variety of roles and stretch and not just play ourselves all the time. And so I'm very grateful for that training that I had.
Do you ever see the teachers? Is Brustein still with us?
Oh, yes. In fact, yeah. I saw him just a week or two ago at a memorial for Alvin Epstein, who was a fantastic actor and director, and he did Beckett plays from very early on and was a was an amazing artist, just passed away this year, and Bruce Dean spoke at his memorial. Bruce Dean is in his 90s, and he's just phenomenal. He was a mentor to me, was and is, and still works, I think, still writes, and I'm not sure if he's still teaching, but I know he was up until a few years ago, and has always been an amazing theater scholar, and I think I owe him my entire career, really.
Do your ex-teachers take credit for your success when you see them? The one who hated me the most once stopped my mother and said, your boy was one of the brightest kids I ever had, but she gave me hell when I was there.
Yeah, I still see teachers of mine, and Carmen de Lavallade was the amazing dancer, was our movement teacher at Yale, and I'm still friends and in touch with a professor from the University of Maine when I was an undergrad, a gentleman named Tom Power, who just retired a year or two ago. Yeah, these people were, you know, had enormous impact on my life and my work.
Let me ask you about Mrs. Maisel. It's a tremendous success. Did you know it was going to be a success when you entered into it?
Well, no one knows anything in this business, really. Anyone who says they know anything is making it up. No, you know, I love the material. When I only had the pilot to go on when I made this decision. I love this time period that it set in. To be honest, I thought it would be sort of a niche kind of program. You know, it would be really loved and appreciated by maybe a narrower group. But
people like me, Jewish guys who are a little older.
Yeah, well, I thought, oh, the people on the Upper West Side of New York are going to love
this show.
That's me. Yeah. Yeah. But then it just expanded way beyond what we ever imagined. And, you know, the way these streaming shows operate is, you know, they launched them all the episodes at once globally, I think. So, we were in Europe last year for the premiere season 2, doing press and all that. And it's even taken hold there. And so it's always surprising when something works.
You're the father. Does that affect your ego?
I'm actually a grandfather in this, if you really want to get specific. Really want to get technical. What do you mean, my ego?
Well, in other words, when you were Monk, you were the star, and here you're in more of a repertory group. Yes?
Well, I think what you're sort of graciously trying to imply here is that I'm a secondary character or a tertiary character. No, I'm perfectly comfortable with that because I work with amazing people. I'm so thrilled to be rubbing elbows with Rachel Brosnahan, who plays the lead, and Alex Borstein, whom I've been a fan of for decades, and Caroline Aaron and Kevin Pollak and Michael Ziegen. And I mean, we are blessed. This is what you hope for, you know, as an actor. You just want to work with people that you respect, where everyone sort of brings up everybody else. And everyone is super supportive and fun to be around, and that's the combination we have.
Yes, yes, Tony Shalhoub, but my question is, have you ever been forced into a situation in a play or in a musical or any of that stuff in which you really came up against the horse's ass? And what do you do then?
Well, I guess yes. I guess the answer would be yes, but not often. And I've been so fortunate. Not that often. It's like any job, you know, in any profession, you bear down and you do your work and, you know, you just have to tough it out. But I really had very, very few of those experiences. Mostly, you know, I find myself in situations where it's relatively smooth sailing.
You sound like an awfully nice guy. The question is, are you? Or do you just play one in life?
No, but I sound like one, and that's really all that matters.
That's wonderful. Let's go back to a little bit of some of your great successes, one of which was The Band's Visit. What do you think about it when you look back on it?
Oh, well, I, again, to have been a part of that particular ensemble was extraordinary. I had never imagined myself in a musical. I steered clear of musicals, you know, for years and years. I was always terrified. I never thought of myself as a singer, and I still don't. But they promised me that they would get me an enormous amount of help and keep my singing, you know, to a minimum. But I was just working with some of the greatest talents, musicians, actors, singers, it was an extraordinary experience. And I guess, I think where you're leading, what you're leading to here is the Tony
You won an award,
award. All of that.
You,
that,
you won the award.
That was the last, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if you had asked me, what's the least likely thing you expect to happen in your career? I would have said, oh, to be nominated or win a Tony for performance in a musical. That would have been the bottom of the list. That would have been the top of the list of what I would least expect. So shocking, especially because I saw some of the productions and some of the performances that I was up against last year, and they were mind blowing. And I felt, well, it'll be nice just to be there to round out the field.
We're running out of time here, Tony. I'm sure you're delighted to know that, but I wanted to ask you.
I feel like we're just getting started here, Alan.
I wanted to talk
a little bit about my childhood now.
Yeah, let's talk about your childhood.
No, I'm kidding. No one wants to hear that.
Okay, no. What I wanted to do is to talk about your bit part, in which you played an alien and got your head blown off. What was that like?
Well, it was
Men in Black, right?
Men in Black. I did. Men in Black 1 and 2,
yep.
And had my head blown off in both, I guess because I did it so well the first time. Yeah, that was an experience. I had worked with Barry Sonnenfeld, the director, prior to that, and he's such a delight to hang with. And I got to work with Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones and Rick Baker, the extraordinary special effects makeup guy. And my job was really easy. They just loaded me up with tons of prosthetics, and we let that and the computer-generated stuff take care of the rest.
Anybody ever come up to you and say, I saw you in that, sorry what they did to you?
You know, that's the most disturbing, you know, that's the downside you were mentioning about being famous before.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people say, oh, you know, you were great in Men in Black. I'm thinking, really? That's what I look like now? I look like Jeeves in Men in Black? That's not good. That is not good. I had a, you know, one eye was going south, or I mean east, and, you know, my ears were enlarged, my nose was enlarged, my teeth were all wonky, and yet I get recognized. That is a very bad sign.
Cool. That's really cool. We've been talking, of course, with Tony Shalhoub, and I am delighted that you've given us this time, but let's remember what this is all about. It's the Berkshire Playwrights Lab annual gala, which will take place on Friday, June 7th at 6:30 at the Wyantonek Country Club in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Tony, you've been a good sport, and I know how busy you are. You're doing
all this work.
And thanks.
I just have one question. Do I have to dress up for that event?
You know, you'll have to deal with the right people over there. Rick,
you're not going to be there? You're not like
I don't know that I'm invited, but if I was, I'd come and shake your hand. It's really great of you to do this, and it's so generous, and so we thank you so much. Again, the Berkshire Playwrights Lab annual gala on Friday, June 7th, 6:30 in the Wyantonek Country Club in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. You're terrific, and boy, I'll tell you, I'll just keep on watching you on the Monk series.